The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Thursday, January 17th, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker, market analyst for ADM Grain Group Indicator, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing. In agricultural news, the Bush administration continues to stress it will veto the farm bill unless Congress retools the measure. Also, ethanol industry officials say new ethanol rail terminals are needed. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason will talk with U of I researchers on solutions that extend the shelf life of meats. It's all on the Thursday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Thursday afternoon, prices settled like this. In Kansas City, March wheat, 981 and a half, up 22 and a half. July, 951, up 28. At the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat at 940 and a half, up 14. May, 956 and a half, up 15 and a half. July, 864, up 12 and a half. March corn, 502 down a half. May, 514 and three quarters unchanged. July, 525 and a quarter unchanged. December, 521 down a quarter. March soybeans, 1271 down 6. May, 1291 down 5.5. July, 1305.5 down 8 and 3 quarters. November, 1270 down 4. March soybean meal, 344.30 down 260. March soybean oil, 5291 up 18. February live cattle, 90.90 up 85. January feeders, 97.05 up 7.5. February lean hogs, 55.20 up 7.5. And February bellies at 84.20 up 72.5. Be sure to join us this evening for another one of our free AM580 Agricultural Outlook panels. We'll be at the landing at the Lincoln Trail Golf Course this evening at 7 o'clock. Panelists for our meeting this evening include Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. That's at the landing at the Lincoln Trail Golf Course in Taylorville. The meeting getting underway at 7 o'clock. No advance registration is required, and the meeting is free. Bring your agricultural questions, and we hope to see you there. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the futures market, sitting in for Dan Zwicker, is Paul Cooley of ADM Investment Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Dave. I understand you had a nice meeting in Pontiac last night.
We did indeed have a wonderful meeting in Pontiac last night. Very well attended, lots of interest in these hot and volatile grain markets. And yes, today was another day of volatility. It's about the fifth consecutive session, Paul, where we've had some pretty big moves between the lows and the highs.
Yes, and you know, we underscore that we had some very large export sales announced, particularly at the 93.3 million bushels in corn, 35.5 million bushels in soybeans, and there was some business in the international market in wheat, and we did continued to see Minneapolis wheat as basically locked in, limit up in the first three contracts, and that set the tone in the other commodity markets very well, very strong into the close as well. And then the other thing was a little drier forecast for the first few days of this week in Argentina, and the market did finally give up some ground as we traded into the afternoon session.
What did the trade and I guess grain and as well as equities Wall Street make of Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke's remarks to Congress today about a fiscal stimulus package?
Well, it's definitely a signal that it's not only the Fed's job, but also Congress and the White House job to provide this package. And it's going to take a bipartisan effort, and it also is quicker the better. And we are looking at some monumental losses as far as financial drain by the big money center banks because of the subprime issue. The stock market's also taking a very hard hit today. Crude oil's also down, and it was also emphasized to everyone that housing values are dropping as well as the stock market. And you could just tell the reaction from the congressional leaders. It's rather somber in some of those hearings based on some of the sad news that we're hearing. And it's also having an impact, in my opinion, on some of the commodity markets traded in Chicago.
Does Bernanke's testimony before Congress give additional impetus to ideas that the Fed will cut a half percentage point at its meeting at the end of the month?
You know, that's a good question. I didn't listen to each point here, but I would definitely think a quarter point is the standard. But it also means that the economy is much worse than what people thought. And I think that that's even one of the reasons we're seeing, you know, the agricultural sector as well as the very much go-go energy groups all are taking major sell-offs, in the New York Stock Exchange even yesterday and today.
Give us your analysis as you see it of the lead option months in beans and corn on the technical charts, please.
Yeah. Well, we're still in a definite uptrend, and it's almost like a second harvest in the country. We're seeing massive amounts of corn and soybeans move into the marketplace. One elevator told me today that there's even a lot of spot grain going into the marketplace, which signals that the farmer is emptying a bin and finishing up on a particular farm and just moving it on into the marketplace. The one thing that has people puzzled here, of course, is what's going to happen in the delivery time frame, and we still have quite a time frame before we see March delivery start, as far as the delivery process is concerned. But one thing we do know that in these volatile markets, when cash grain moves, it does have a tendency to widen the basis levels, even with large export sales and exports being fairly good. Also, another thing in the export market that we want to talk about just a little bit is the ocean freight's getting weaker. But as far as technical things, I think we have to say with a certain amount of certainty that the market's not as overbought as it was as a few days ago. The market does react to this extreme volatility very well. The Board of Trade increased margin requirements on corn and hogs, and there was another commodity, I think soybean oil. The big factor here is that, as a general rule, it may be short-term bearish but longer-term bullish because it does eliminate a lot of the traders, and usually the trend encourages that to go on to a higher level.
Do you think that to some degree we are rewriting the rule book, as it were, to what it means to be overbought or underbought?
A good question. Yes, there's a new bunch of rules and a new game, and the money that it takes to play the game as far as a farmer's concerned, a country elevator, and even a hedge fund is much different than it was when I started in the grain business in 1971. Amount of money that it takes, the faster trends, the inner market spreads are just tremendous. So it's a lot different, and the bottom line is capitalized money and speed of entry and exit of orders out of the pit, because it used to be on a fast day, it would take us maybe a half hour to an hour to get fills out of the pit. With this new computer trade, we get it instantaneously, a buy or sell, and the customers seem to like that added speed and service.
So what are producers to do with these prices? I know that over the years, as we've talked, you haven't been a strong advocate of use of option strategies, but these levels are so high.
Yeah, we are looking at, for example, puts and soybeans, and, for example, they're pretty cheap when you start talking about a $9 or a $10 put. The general impression is that we do see options really in two ways. As far as locking in prices and basically not worrying about a margin call and buying the crop back, and we are seeing this popular buy in the money strike price and then going up 50 cents and selling another strike price. So we are seeing more option use, but at the same time, futures and future spreads and intermarket commodities is also extremely popular in the market.
Thank you much, Paul.
Have a nice day and a safe trip to Taylorville.
Thank you much, sir. Paul Cooley of ADM Investment Services in Oakland, Illinois. We thank him for filling in today for Dan Zwicker. Taking a look at Ed Kieser's two-state forecast this evening, he reminds us that there's a snow advisory in effect for Joe Davies County in northwestern Illinois until 3 o'clock, just about another 44 minutes. Tonight, mostly cloudy with occasional flurries or snow showers, especially before midnight, lows ranging from 10 in the north to 25 in the south. Then tomorrow, in the north and central sections, partly sunny early, then increasing cloudiness with light snow and flurries possible late in the day. In the south, partly sunny and highs ranging from 23 in the north to 42 in the south. A cold front will push through Friday afternoon and night, ushering in much colder air along with a little more snow. Temperatures over the weekend well below freezing. Some low temperatures below zero in northern and central sections. In agricultural news, the Bush administration has reiterated its intention to veto the current version of the Farm Bill in a meeting of commodity and farm organization representatives. Senior White House advisor Barry Jackson says lawmakers must reform the marketing loan program and limit eligibility for program payments for farmers with an average adjusted gross income above $200,000. Acting USDA Secretary Chuck Connor is meeting today with House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson and Ranking Republican Bob Goodlatte on the Farm Bill. Peterson says the White House is looking for farm program cuts of about $15 billion over 5 years. In Peterson's words, that's a pretty heavy lift. I don't think that's going to fly. The Nebraska Corn Board says state producers harvest a record 1.47 billion bushels of corn, and more than 90% was grade number one. The report is distributed to corn buyers and trade teams. Officials at the Food and Drug Administration say a new food safety plan is a step forward for producers and consumers. Jonna Miller is with the AFBF, and she has this report.
Food safety is an issue important to everyone. An official from the Food and Drug Administration told members of the American Farm Bureau Federation that FDA plans to hire more food safety inspectors.
I think it's important to understand that you can't simply inspect your way out of the problem. You can't inspect all the food all the time. It's just not possible. There aren't the dollars in the United States to do that.
Dr. David Acheson is Associate Director of Food Protection for the FDA. He says the key is to put inspectors where the risks are. That's part of the new food protection plan the FDA launched in November.
You've got to work with industry, farmers and ranchers and everybody, to build in those safety factors up front, build those preventative controls in right at the very beginning.
But Acheson says he does not believe farmers and ranchers will have to pay for those new preventative controls.
For FDA to put in a comprehensive food protection plan, that's going to require resources. No question about that. It wouldn't seem reasonable and fair to me to put that sole burden on farmers and ranchers. I think the goal here is to look at how can we fund this through a variety of potential mechanisms.
Jonna Miller, New Orleans.
Ethanol industry specialists say construction of new terminals will be crucial to growth in the ethanol sector. Ethanol capacity last year was 7.6 billion gallons. The high cost of adding transportation infrastructure has thus far limited investment in new terminals and formed some bottlenecks in the ethanol transportation system. Officials at Union Pacific Corporation, the nation's largest railroad, says new ethanol destination terminals is a key company strategy to meet the needs of governmental mandated ethanol blending. UP Vice President Paul Jimenez says, quote, petroleum companies will pay whatever it is that they have to pay to get the ethanol in order to meet that requirement. The U.S. Supreme Court has let stand a lower court's ruling that Monsanto can control the future use of seeds. That is to say, Monsanto's agreement with farmers that they cannot plant bin run Roundup Ready soybeans is permissible by the courts. Delegates to the 89th American Farm Bureau Federation Convention spent just one day considering business, Stuart Doan reports.
Farm Bureau delegates finished their convention-ending business session a day earlier than planned. AFBF Executive Director of Public Policy Mark Maslin told reporters he wasn't surprised.
There's a couple of reasons for that, and one is the fact that times are good, commodity prices are good, and attitudes are good out there. I think another reason is we have been every year increasing the date or the time of the day that we get done. Every year it's shorter than the year before. This is the first time I think we've finished everything in one day. Mm-hmm. The policies that have been adopted, for the most part, are existing policies. There are a number of reaffirmations.
The 368 delegates unanimously approved a sense of the delegate body resolution in favor of swift enactment of a new farm bill that maintains an adequate income safety net. Missouri Farm Bureau President Charlie Cruz said he hopes that Washington, D.C. was listening.
We got places in this country where we're already planting 2008 crops. We've got a lot of plans already in place for planting 2008 crops. And it really is time to get a farm bill done so we all know what's going to happen and where we are in this process.
Delegates also reaffirmed support for comprehensive immigration reform that will improve farmers' timely access to legal farm workers, and in a policy reversal, voted to support mandatory country of origin meat labeling. Covering the AFBF annual meeting, Stuart Doan, New Orleans.
Strategies Grains has hiked its estimate of the European Union's 2008-2009 cereal output to 292 million metric tons. That's 1.4 million metric tons more than its December estimate. SG increased barley and corn output forecasts and trimmed soft wheat. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
A University of Illinois food scientist has discovered certain solutions used by meat processors to extend shelf life actually do double duty. Todd Gleason reports.
E. coli can spread via recycled solutions used to tenderize and enhance flavors in steaks and chops and other cuts of meats. This problem motivated U of I food scientist Susan Brewer to study the process used to inject meat with enhancement solutions before they reach consumers. She discovered that certain solutions used by meat processors to extend shelf life actually do double duty as antimicrobial agents, killing such foodborne pathogens as E. coli.
And actually, the way this sort of came up was that there are some flavor enhancers that are approved for use in meat products, and it just so happens that they also enhance shelf life because they kill bacteria. The mechanism by which they do that is not entirely clear. It seems like maybe the bacterial cells just absorb this molecule completely, just the way it is, and then the molecule falls apart inside the cell, and ionizes, and ions disrupt all kinds of cellular processes. But it's not really clear how they do this. One of them is sodium lactate. One of them, which is just a sodium salt of an organic acid, a natural acid. One of them is sodium diacetate, which is breaks down into sodium acetate, which is basically the sodium salt of vinegar.
Brewer's lab found that some solutions used to extend the shelf life of meat also were effective at killing bacteria. But she also stresses that even though these solutions are effective, it's still important to cook red meat to 160 degrees. She says the meat industry has been very proactive in attempting to prevent contamination, but consumers should remember that the cook is the last point of control. It is the reason restaurants often urge their patrons to have beef cooked beyond rare. Organisms like E. coli are living cells, and they're fairly easily destroyed by heat. I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon, Bill.
Good afternoon, Dave.
On this rally that we've had over the last couple of weeks, the steepness of it particularly has had basis weakening. Was that the case again today? Or
yeah, we've really seen the basis continue to weaken here this week. We've 4 to 5 cents in this area on the corn and anywhere from 10 cents plus on the soybeans. On the corn side, we got there in late November, early December, where we almost got up to what I'd call normal or past normal levels. And now we've kind of fallen back out of the picture and, well below what even the minimum levels have been for this time of the year in the past. So looking forward, I'm not sure I expect, as long as the board continues to move higher, I think it's going to be hard to get this basis to improve much over the next 30 days here.
And beyond 30 days, are we patient enough to see it snap back?
Well, sometimes when you get the farmer in the field and start to see, some of the deliveries stop, you have a chance to see bases improve. I guess I would expect that unless we're just, continuing to run this thing up to all-time highs. And some of the movement that we're seeing out here is caused, as we've talked about and I've heard you talk about on this show, just some forced sales into the pipeline because of need for capital.
Mm-hmm. And early in the week, Where you were at, did you see a lot of selling from producers Monday-ish, Tuesday-ish?
Yeah, Monday. Actually, Tuesday, too. Yeah, there was some pretty good movement. One of the things that I've noticed is, I'm not directly involved in the purchases, but just talking with people, some of the amounts have kind of slowed down a little bit. I mean, they're lowering amounts, making sales, but maybe make a little bit smaller amount on their sales than what they had been doing.
What are the prices in Lexington today?
$4.72 on the corn and $12.06 on the soybeans.
And that's old crop?
That's old crop. $4.71 on new crop and $12.15.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A judge has dismissed the state attorney general's lawsuit against two clinics that alleged that they illegally manipulated the Medicaid program. But the ruling allows the AG's office to refile the suit within 30 days with a more specific argument. The state alleged that Carl and Christie clinics broke antitrust laws by forcing the state to raise Medicaid reimbursement rates. Attorneys for the state are expected to file the suit again. Judge Richard Klaus said he understands that the client's decisions to deny Medicaid patients hurt those patients, but he said the state's initial case didn't prove that the clinics violated any laws. House members have approved Governor Rob Blagojevich's changes to legislation that will prevent deep service cuts at Chicago-area transit systems. But in doing so this afternoon, many of them angrily accused the governor of playing political games by tacking on a measure giving free public transit rides to all senior citizens. The measure passed 61-47 and now goes on to the Illinois Senate. The vote today came after the free ride measure was approved by a key state legislative committee yesterday. Blagojevich says he won't sign the transit funding bill unless legislators approve the free ride initiative. A spokesman for Canadian National acknowledges that his railroad's quest to buy a smaller Chicago area line would force Amtrak to make decisions about its routes around that city. But the spokesman says Amtrak would have 3 years to make those arrangements if a deal between CN and the Elgin, Joliet, and Eastern Railroad comes together. If a sale takes place, Jim Cadera says CN would no longer use a stretch of railroad that's a key link for Amtrak trains running between downstate Illinois and Union Station. Amtrak says it couldn't afford to buy or maintain that track. Champaign City Council members have filed a resolution opposing any changes that would hurt Amtrak's service to this area. The new residential and dining complex going up at the southwest side of the University of Illinois campus will be named after a longtime U of I president. The dining facility and a new residential building catering in part to students with disabilities will be a part of the Stanley O. Eikenberry Commons. Eikenberry served for 6 years as president. The $76 million complex is supposed to be ready for students in 2010. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Support for WILL is provided by Risk Management Commodities, presenting an agricultural marketing and planning meeting Tuesday, January 22nd from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Holiday Inn in Terre Haute, Indiana. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580, your information advantage. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Let's begin in the U.S. instead of South America for a change and take us all the way west out to Nebraska, where it could be that it's going to be pretty cold and maybe the snow cover is not quite enough for the winter wheat crop?
Well, that is certainly the one area where there is some risk of having a few problems, is Nebraska and parts of South Dakota. Very limited snow cover and no major snows are expected prior to the weekend, and temperatures will be getting down to levels of between 5 and 15 below zero. And so in some of those areas, you could have some problems here from a standpoint of winter kill damage.
All right. Take us further east along the Corn Belt. What do you expect closer to where we are?
Well, not quite that cold, and we are going to have a little bit of snow here and there across the Midwest. Some of that will be lake snow in the favored lake snow belts of northern Indiana, southern Michigan, and northern Ohio. And temperatures here across the Midwest are not going to be as cold as we're going to see a little bit further to the west. So really no issues here for the soft red crop.
Spend some time talking about China. They've been having some problems with lack of precipitation. There is drought in parts of China, and maybe they haven't been talked up quite a bit as much by the trade as they should. What can you tell us about China?
Well, certainly their rainy season last fall kind of ended a little bit prematurely, and because of that, they've had some issues with their winter crops across China, winter wheat, winter rapeseed, and overall across those areas that have certainly affected some of the crops there, especially the winter wheat crops in those locales. From a standpoint of this point on, no relief is expected, but that would be a very unusual situation at this time of year to have big rains across those locales. So this is really a situation more so that happened last fall than they think it's happening right now. They're in a relatively dry pattern right now. That's typically what they're always at this time of year. The key there is what actually happened last fall across those areas, and it was enough to affect some of the winter crops across those locales.
Just don't see quite a bit as much talk on that as you might want to see. Go ahead and hit South America and talk about Brazil a little bit, because We're kind of keeping our eye on Rio Grande do Sul and wondering if they're going to get any moisture anytime soon.
Right. Well, over the last 24 hours, there was some rains here across those locales, but one of our items of concern is that the dryness and heat that we've seen in Argentina that unquestionably has reduced their production potential across that region shows some signs of kind of moving northward up into the southern portion of Brazil. There are no major problems across the southernmost province of Rio Grande do Sul, but we do have some concerns as we go through the end of this month and in Feb that you will see a northward progression, which climatically is a very typical thing for that to occur going from January into Feb and even into early March.
Thank you very much, John. You have a great day.
You too, David.
John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's closing market report. Remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the audio links tab. This is Dave Dickey.